This is HPR episode 2956 for Monday, the 2nd of December 2019. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for November 2019. It's hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 87 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is Dave, Jeroen and Ken talk about shows released and comments posted in November 2019.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, it's the community news for November 2019. This is an opportunity for people in the community to come on and have a chat about what's been happening, the shows and the great news. Joining me tonight is...
Hi, it's Dave Morris, which I hope you can hear me because my sound's been playing up, but hopefully you can.
It's fine. The biggest news, I guess, was the introduction of our two new hosts. Can you introduce them there, Dave?
Yes. Right. Neil Arzo is our first one, who we met at OGCamp.
Correct.
And Daniel Persson, I think you pronounce that. It means person, doesn't it, in Swedish and whatever. But Persson, I would guess. He hasn't said it himself, so I'm not quite sure.
No.
Hopefully he'll correct me if I got it completely wrong.
Always a good idea to introduce yourself on the shows, because I also take that segment out and put it into the recordings of people, of HBR hosts, into that great big file. Okay, so the first thing we normally do is if you're new to HPR, HPR is a community news podcast where the shows are submitted by listeners very much, in fact, indeed, identical to you. And the community news show is an opportunity for us to go have a look at what's been happening. And one thing that we always try and do is go back and comment on any of the shows in the last month. That way, at least, somebody get some feedback, because feedback is the currency of the podcaster. Isn't that correct, Dave?
Indeed it is.
And if you're new to HPR and you want to help out, one of the biggest things that you can do is give some feedback on the shows, which is something that I did on HPR 2935, The Work of a Firefighter, to which I said, that sucks. So 2,400 liters. So this was a show about from Jeroen, who continues his introduction to firefighting, and he just kind of dropped in one of the shows that they have a unit that's capable of transporting 2,400 liters per second, which I converted to obviously it's 2.4 cubic meters a second. So that would be my front living room in 2 seconds, enough water to fill my front living room, which is equivalent to 85,000 square foot or
cubic foot.
Cubic foot, yeah. And or 6,340.01 gallons per second US liquid. That's a lot.
That's certainly a lot of, and I was fascinated that this is a device that gets ported to a nearby source of water and then pumps on over a very long pipe. I think is what you said, wasn't it?
Yeah, they dropped this thing off at one of the many little ponds and stuff that they have around for holding water basically, and then the truck travels with a hose, a fire hose, at 40 kilometers an hour, you're driving down the road at 40 kilometers an hour, dropping the fire hose, and then that goes to another tank, and then from there spreads to the house. It's like another level of firefighting. But
amazing. Yeah. I'd love to see pictures of that, I must say.
I actually seen one of these things. They have them. They have one. We live right beside that fire station here. And they have one of them there, and I never knew, you know, what it was. But, like, yeah, you know, during the do tours for kids, and, you know, during the thing, he was going, yeah, you know, this is for when we need to get extra fire from the slope, but or from the ditch or whatever. But, you know, it didn't kind of hit me how much this thing can pump.
Yeah, astonishing. What you need, mind you, but it's still pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I also commented that Blows, which is obviously a reference to the backdraft training video by Keith Thomas, and there was a link in that. That was where they recreated a backdraft, and Jeroen was talking about that. And then You're Fired is was my last comment. Can you go into How to Work? Yeah, this is me just not letting a series die. Going to work, the relationship of working as a part-time firefighter. How often are you called out? Are there laws obliging a company to give you time off? What happens if you get injured? Who pays your unemployment benefits, the VVA outcurring? And can you get fired from your main job if you get injured in your part-time job? And how much do you make as a volunteer firefighters, and can you explain the role of a junior firefighting teams? There you go.
Hint, you're in. We need some more.
Make the mistake of saying, oh, I think this is all I can get out of this series.
Yeah. There's some good questions there. I'd like to know the answers to them. So yeah. Fingers pointing at you, Jeroen.
I was kind of hoping that that would have clickbaited him enough to come on when he read the comments.
Yeah.
Anyway, in joke. Go back and listen to some of the community news with people. The following day, we had Bento had Windows, SDN, and firewalls. Been a firewall user for the past three years. He did some information on SDN and a DIY approach to firewalls. This was it's good to have him come back, which is great.
Hang on, where are you? What number are you on?
Hold on.
The next one is community news. Well, I don't know where you even went to. You went into a different universe, down a black hole or something.
So the next one was community news. Any comments on that, Dave?
Oh, yes. Scroll. Yes. Lost in Bronx.
You do them.
Okay. Lost in Bronx says, Ken's voice is better than eSpeak. For my part, Ken's reading of the opening info is far, far better than eSpeak. Then again, a screaming cat would be better. I've brought up what an incredible turn off that eSpeak intro is to new listeners on the email list before, and was hooted down. But if you're asking for opinions, well, this is mine.
Okay, this is not a criticism. To be careful here, eSpeak is a wonderful technology, but the voices have not developed in the last 10, 15 years at least, and there are better voices out there. Thing about this is me doing the intros. I did it for a month, and it slows processing of the shows down, and it also puts a manual step in, which is something that we're wanting to go away from. So I would much prefer having a computer-generated voice that is to do that. So what I will probably start doing now is Mike Ray has sent me another tool where there is a slightly better computer generated voice, so we might try that for a while and see how we're going.
Yep. Okay, well, yeah, the issue is people who use eSpeak get used to the fact that it doesn't sound very nice. People who've never encountered it before think it sounds foul. I can sympathize with that. So finding a compromise would be great.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a rant with Mike about this offline, so I would love for there to be an ability to train the voices and add voices easier to eSpeak. And it seems to just have stagnated for one reason or another, that people who use it day in, day out are happy with it. But I've seen that my daughter, who would benefit from a text-to-speech application, cannot use it because that voice has given her is just too scary. It was scary back when she was 7, and now she just has bad feelings about that voice.
Understood. So the next comment is from John Culp, who says, Potts, thanks for holding it down solo this month, Ken. And yes, I did think of using a potentiometer instead of a resistor, but this clock's case didn't have much wiggle room, and I wasn't up for anything more challenging. A volume knob for the alarm would be fantastic for sure. That was John hacking his alarm clock to make it a bit quieter.
Yeah, great idea. Tlake says, release order or episode order? This was about what's the best way to watch Star Trek or Star Wars. Sorry, Star Wars. I haven't rewatched all the movies myself, but when I do, I hope I will with my son at some point. It will be in Machete order, so named because it was first described on the
machete juggling
blog.
Yeah, don't ever juggle a machete. Get the wrong end, you're in trouble. You have problems.
The explanation why is full of spoilers, and you can't find it online. In short, it makes the journey of one soul re-examining it through the further to the story of another, then joins the stories in the grand finale. The order is 4, 5, 2, 3, 6, and then the episode order from then on. It papers over some of Lucas's worst narrative mistakes and ruins none of the surprises except one. If this seems silly, then release order. The prequels require original trilogy knowledge to fully enjoy, and they ruin the important surprises of the original trilogy. So episode order, not the way to go. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Release order. I'll do release order. Yep.
Fair enough.
It's an important question, you know.
Well, if you're coming at it new, fresh, then yeah, it's a very confusing business otherwise.
It probably seems odd that my children have not seen Star Wars, but we do actually look at the age ratings of movies, and they're not allowed to watch movies that are not meant for kids.
Yep, fair enough.
Until they're ready for them. That said, they've watched some fairly heavy movies since then, but yeah, with parental supervision, as you can imagine. Anyway, one that I'm really glad has turned up is Lord D's Film Reviews, His Girl Friday. This was mixing a review series, and it's been back, brought back in honor of Lord D, who passed away I think last year. And it's by Lost in Bronx, and it was on His Girl Friday, which apparently was a remake of a remake of a remake. So I found that an interesting thing and an interesting approach.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. It's a film that has probably been on telly at various times.
Yeah.
But I've sort of dipped in and out probably because it's, yeah. And it was fascinating that Lost in Bronx pointed out that the name makes no sense because it's not anything to do with the Girl Friday.
Yeah.
And I'd never noticed that before. You just accept these things. That's the name of the film. I'm watching the film there. But yeah, his analyses as always are very, very eye-opening. And this one in particular.
I had, I don't know, back when there was only two channels in Ireland, and unless you had a really tall aerial and you could pick up the Beeb from Northern Ireland. There used to, you know, the requirement on having more mixed varied content was a lot higher on TVs, and now since, you know, cable networks have come along, channels, there isn't the variety show that there used to, there isn't the variety on the regular channels that there used to be. Yeah. And I think that's a pity. Not to say that at 4 o'clock in the morning watching ballet when you came in from work was, you know, the most awe-inspiring, but at least I did get to watch some ballet in my life.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I ended up back in those sorts of days where there were a few more channels in the UK, but not that many, watching things because I wanted to watch something and it was on, and you know, and ended up watching the entirety of Civilization with Ken, was it Clark? What was his Clark? Lord Clark or whatever is his name on? I've forgotten it now. I've got a box set of it here, which I haven't watched since. But, and things like ballet, as you say, I discovered that there was somebody called Pina Bausch who made amazingly weird ballet things, and sat there fascinated watching these things. I've never been to see ballet as a consequence of it, but it made quite an impression on me at the time, because I was sort of caught by it and watched it, and then came away thinking, but why? And is this really for me? But it was really interesting to know that it existed. So yeah, it's the siloing of stuff, I suppose it is, the sort of narrow casting of these things is something of an issue.
And because at the time there was a duty, then a requirement, to make sure that the information the content that you were pushing out was representing all of society. So yeah, that was interesting. I don't know. The point is, you don't see those movies on TV anymore, is what I'm saying, because they're all on some other channel that you need to subscribe to in order to watch, which is a bit of a pity. Anywho, Markov chains to generate names. This was, no surprise, a Haskell show by Tuukka Torto. And I think there was no comment on this, but there was a comment on the following show about those. To be honest, I had never heard of Markov chains and had to Wikipedia them to find out what he was on about.
It's something I'd come across, actually. I was looking at Markov processes, or whatever you call them, as a possible way of analyzing my data for my PhD years and years and years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And fascinatingly, my son is currently doing Markov thingies with slightly different names for his AI course that he's doing at the moment. So, I still don't understand it. I have no clue, really. But although I'm told that mathematically it's quite simple. But it's a state-changing thing that relies on the previous node, I think. Is it in a nutshell?
It's very much, it made sense when he was talking about it. But
yeah. Exactly. let it go for a little bit, and it's turned to smoke.
Exactly. What was that? Who used to say that about Richard Feynman lectures? That you come out of a Richard Feynman lecture, and then 20 minutes later, you knew that it was explained, but it just left your head. Yes, I had the. If somebody wants to explain how Laplace transforms work, that would be awesome as well.
Gosh. Yeah. That's why I avoided maths when I was younger. So yeah,
I did okay. I'm not good at maths. Having dyscalculia, I believe, and but I do get the concepts. I will always get the numbers wrong, which is why I switched. I use computers because I can trust a computer. I can't trust my head, even if I do the same calculation twice in a row. But when we got to Laplace transforms, I just could not get it. But since then. watching Big Clive and things like that, or some of the ham radio guys, they start talking about them there and how they're used in filtering. So if there's anybody who's listening to this thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to do a show, but I happen to be an expert at explaining Laplace transforms, feel free to do so.
Absolutely.
Anywho, the following show was unique insofar as I didn't break the rule of listening to it before it went up, but I was still implemented some fixes as a result of this. And this was How to Submit a Show in 10 Easy Steps. And right there, it shouldn't be 10 easy steps. It should be just one easy step. But that I put down to me. So Be Easy did a show on how to submit a show. And I commented, clarification, as a result of the show, there is now an upload button on every page. So, which is kind of absolutely obvious thing that we should have had on there. So it's always refreshing to hear this. One thing he did mention, and we absolutely need to make it clear, is that if you submit your address, it is going everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So, if you don't want your address to be used, please email admin@hackerpublicradio.org and we will create a redirect for you. So your host name @hackerpublicradio, and then that will be in the show notes and not your actual real email address. Yep.
But the defanging of the email address is something that is on there. You can find it, but it needs to be repeated.
So, better social media, Mastodon, which actually prompted me to, this entire series prompted me to go and set up a account, and we are now on Mastodon, Dave. Awesome.
Indeed. Eh? I've definitely seen messages from you on Mastodon, so I can vouch for that.
Were they me? Or were there somebody pretending to be me?
Well, will I ever know? Am I talking to you now? I don't, it's, you know. That's life.
That stunt double I hire to go over to all the conferences, you know. Would you mind reading that one?
So, yes, sorry. I was just finding the button I have to press to so you can hear me. It's been a bad day today. But anyway, Claudio M says, simple Mastodon timeline view option. Great episode on Mastodon and the various instances. By the way, I heard that you noticed the interface looked like TweetDeck. You can change that if you go into preferences to appearance and then uncheck the box for the enable advanced web interface. This will make the interface much simpler with only the column of the timeline you've chosen, home, notifications, local timeline or federated timeline, on the list at the right of the page. The instance I'm on, Mastodon.xyz, is running version 2.9.3 of Mastodon, so anything at that version or greater should have this option.
Cool, nice tip.
Yeah. I certainly found that the interface was very, very weird with all these columns. The concept that the best thing to do with a web page is to have lots of narrow columns, so you're sort of like writing messages on bus tickets, which nobody will understand because there's no such thing anymore. But it just struck me as a little odd. You know, I've got this monitor that stretches from here to wherever, and it's all strange little narrow columns. But you live with it. You learn to live with it. But it is an odd. I don't quite understand the logic of that. But there you go.
Yeah, the UIs. I don't know. Sometimes. The following day, we had Server Basics 107, Minishift and Container Management by Tlatu. This is a series to watch out for, folks, if you're not following along. This is a very, very, very good series. He's starting at the ground and working his way up. I strongly suspect this series was triggered by his GNU World Order series, where he's going through, this is Tlatu, by the way, is going through every single command on Slackware Linux and basically describing them, which has been a revelation to me. And he came across one that required namespaces, and then that has spawned, I believe, this. I could be wrong. Maybe he planned it for ages. Who knows how Tlatu's mind works. But this is really building up how Docker containers work, or containers in general work, and how you can get them running. So I'm actually going to assign some training time and go through this entire series one after the other.
Yeah, my first reaction to this was, yeah, that's fine. It's all cool and all that. But what's it got to do with me? That sounds more aggressive than I meant it to be. But, you know, will it ever have any relevance to my life? But of course, I'm completely wrong, and it will. You know, listening to discussions about containers just this very day, I hear people misunderstanding how containers work when they're discussing them, and so would I, of course. But and having an understanding of how it operates, and the fact that it's namespaces and it's all on the same machine, and so on and so forth, it's really, really quite important, because you can easily come a cropper if you think that containers are the same as virtual systems, virtual. Yeah. What do I call it? So that I can't think.
Virtual service.
Virtual server. Thank you very much. So yes, I very much appreciate this this particular series that Tlatu is doing.
I hope he actually continues on with it and covers some of the cool stuff that can be done. So the following day, why I love Lisps. A very wooden scripted episodes about why I love Lisp programming language. And I must criticize him for this, that it wasn't wooden, and it might have been scripted, but it didn't come across as wooden to me.
Well, no, I thought it was a really well done first show, first thing.
Yeah.
I thought there was lots of enthusiasm coming through there, which will carry you through all sorts of things where you maybe feel that you're not delivering in the best way. If you have enthusiasm and it comes across, then it counts for an enormous amount. And I didn't find it sounded like a scripted thing at all. And it had some really good content. I hope that there will be much more.
So do I.
Because this was a great introduction to Lisps and why they're cool. I'd really like to know more so I could actually go and follow down some of these routes and see for myself how much fun they can be.
Perhaps a Hello World episode or how to get started, installation, where you might use them, that sort of thing.
Just actually being able to install one and type things at it. I mean, that Fibonacci thing is nice and looks like something that wouldn't be too hard to type, and to get your head around how that works would be quite a powerful thing.
Well, he impressed Tukutoroto anyway, who said, Welcome and thanks for the great first episode. Like you said, Lisps are super powerful languages and are fun to program. I feel like Lisp is a perfect language to write the language you use to solve your problem with. When I was coding in Lisp for a hobby, I often wrote my program in languages I wished I had, and then added the needed features to the language I had with macros.
Yes. And Carl says, well done. I thought this was a great episode and the reading didn't bother me at all. Your enthusiasm for Lisp still came through. Maybe you want to check into one of them. That's pretty much what I said.
Yes.
Very good. Well, yeah.
And Jerry K says, loved it. I've been a fan of Lisps for years. I haven't played with Coldure until you mentioned it, so that's the next plan. Great first episode, TY later, Jerry.
Good. Well, I hope we will see more, and anybody else who wants to join in with the Lisp theme, I'm sure it would be much appreciated.
And that was a good first episode, but you know, your first episode doesn't have to be as good as that. I mean, I did a show about how to repair an ironing board, you know, so anything's better than that.
Ironing boards break and need to be repaired. I mean, that's good stuff.
The following day, we had Music as Life, Quantum Harmony by Brian. And this, not for the first time, show by Brian that had me pondering stuff. And it was interesting.
Yes. I some of the things that Brian does floor me totally. And this was one. Having come from a science background, I find it really hard to understand what the message is here, to be perfectly honest. But I'm sure that's a deficiency of mine rather than anything else.
Well, no, I kind of got the idea that certain things are like notes. If you use that as an analogy for how life is formed, that the harmonies of things interacting with each other are like composition. So you got each, you know, I could be wrong. Yeah. What I felt was that, now you're making me actually doubt whether I followed it or not, but I felt that every life form was an individual, perhaps an individual instrument, and then everybody playing together was the harmony of life. Maybe that's down on a cellular level, that each of the molecules or individual pieces coming together form harmony.
Well, yes. Yes, I've heard these sorts of ideas exercised. In the biology world, there's the Gaia hypothesis, which is that, you know, all the life on the planet is somehow interacting in ways that that make a whole, you know, sort of a super organism or super entity of some kind. So, you know, I think those ideas are around. And is there not a philosophy that I've forgotten the name of it now, that sees elements of consciousness in every part of the world, every part of the universe, that we're just a manifestation of many, many of these pieces with their own individual portions of consciousness, which has resulted in the consciousness that we have, those sorts of things. It's a Greek, goes back to Greek times, I believe, but I don't understand.
And right there, Dave, means it's a topic that's interesting that we could do with more shows on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just the fact that I do not understand a thing means I should understand a thing, and therefore I want to know more, please. Yes.
So, the following day, we had Onyx Basics.
There was a comment.
Didn't. Yep.
There's a comment from Carl, who was obviously having a commenting day, and good for him. Interesting episode, he said. Interesting ideas. I really enjoyed this episode and got a bit emotional at the end, which was unexpected.
Cool. That's the plus one that this episode needed in order to make it of interest to hackers.
Yes, indeed.
Well, actually, I found it interesting because I found after the show that I paused my music player and went thinking for a while. So that's always a good one. I see Jeroen has turned up late again.
Yeah, well, sorry about that.
We might have started earlier, Jeroen. You're late. Oh, definitely Jeroen. Late. Yeah.
Yeah, rub it in. Okay, go ahead. Make my day. Yeah. Okay. That's what friends are for, right?
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, my talk was the first one this month, so you already covered that, I guess.
Yeah, we did. We pretty much criticized us, saying it sucks and it blows.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah. I'll listen to the recording of this and in due time I'll respond to that then.
Thank you. Obviously trolling as a way forward.
Yeah, trolling forward. That's a new way. It's not paying forward, but trolling forward. Okay.
Exactly. I've just realized that, you know, if I troll you in the comments section that you end up doing more shows. So, you know, it's nothing personal.
Oh, it's just your, sympathetic is not the word I was looking for, but it's your way to make sure people make shows.
Exactly. Whatever it takes, Jeroen.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
So we're up to 2944, Onyx Basics Part 4, Network Flows and Connections, a quick show for Dave. And Dave, did this pass the Of Interest to Hackers thing?
Wow. It certainly did.
Shall
I read my comment? Because I was a bit gobsmacked by this. So I said, this is wonderful. Hi, Gabriel. It's been a busy month and I've only just caught up with this show. That was just a couple of days ago. I'm amazed by what you've done here. I was running the script while my family were visiting and could see them checking Reddit and YouTube, etc. I could see my main router doing its thing and my secondary router, which is used mainly as a wireless access point and Ethernet switch, also doing what it does. I was impressed. The display showed the names I'd allocated and etc. hosts. Now they have left. It's all a lot quieter with my mail client checking various mail feeds and Mastodon updating itself. Fascinating. I had a fairly detailed look at your Bash and Aux scripts, and they're impressive. I shall look further later. As you say, Perl perhaps would have been better, but it's great to see how powerful and lightweight said and Aux can be. Thanks for putting this together. I really enjoyed this episode.
I was on the bus listening to this one, and then I did this. And then I thought I could do it better. Okay.
Wow. It's yeah. What can you say? It's just it's astonishing stuff.
This is, and he has also fixed a patch so that it works on Fedora now. Is also anybody who had issues with this running on Fedora before, they are gone.
Cool. Yes, I did an update. I noticed there was a change when I updated the Git repository, but I didn't pay much attention.
So the following day, we had my recordings of Oddcamp on Saturday. And then the day after that, we had the Sunday ones. And then on the Monday, we had the Mimble Wimble protocol. And this actually blew my mind. It's by Mike B. Mike, who is well into the old blockchain and algorithms and stuff. And this one, this protocol attempts to deal with some of the issues that, there are issues with Bitcoin. It will never be accepted as a real currency because of the way that international regulations are with relation to how laundered money is dealt with. So that if you launder money and you have the proceeds, you can prove that the proceeds of that, if you make a transaction of which some of the transaction is made with laundered money, then all that transaction is believed to be tainted. And this is one of the issues in adopting Bitcoin as a actual currency. And what this is trying to do is make it faster and more anonymous for using online currencies. Not that anybody would be using it for that very reason, I imagine.
No. But yes, it's a fascinating thing. And isn't he, he's very, obviously very, very knowledgeable.
Yes.
And explained it really well. I don't feel I fully understood it, but I was on the way to understand.
Exactly.
It.
A few more shows of this. Keep them coming in.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. I had often wondered the point about my brain is dropping the terminology, but there are issues with the Bitcoin stuff, because you're passing around all of the transactions all the time to everybody, and it's going to get unmanageable, is it not? Is that, have I got that right?
Well, it's very slow to do the transactions, but furthermore, it's you can always trace back a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So all the details of if I bought a bar of chocolate off you 10 years ago, you could, that transaction is logged and open, available in the public for anyone to see, which is why I never understood when people said that Bitcoin is an anonymous way to pay. It isn't. It's everything, every purchase of everybody is available. It's a really weird system, money system, in more ways than one. It's interesting. Don't get me wrong. It's interesting, but
to have a trace, a way of tracing back to year one, and also the amount of work that's involved in maintaining that, mm-hmm. or moving it about. I could never quite understand why you would do that. It's like having your ancestors' memory in your brain forever. Your brain gets unmanageable.
Mm. However, my other issue with Bitcoins and other currencies is it's environmentally a waste of energy. Literally, it is a waste of energy. Data centers pumping out, wasting energy when they could have made that the mining aspect is doing something productive, like searching for terrestrial life, or better yet, folding at home projects, stuff like that. Think of all the wasted transactions, processing power that's going on, just stupid for to prove something or other. Well, you know, if you, yeah, I don't know. There's got to be a better way of utilizing that wasted processing power that would benefit society as well as proving something. Anywho, we'll move on to the next day.
I was intrigued. Just going back to your interviews at OldCamp, not to dwell on them, but you spoke to a guy about FPGA, and he was talking about ASIC, and ASIC is very relevant to all this blockchain stuff, because the ASIC is application specific integrated circuits, I believe. And so a lot of, does that mean that a lot of hardware has been built specifically to do these types of Bitcoin similar mining, which is all fine and dandy, I'm sure, and maybe it's led on to all sorts of other side effects and so on, which are beneficial, but Mimblewimble is blocking it specifically because you know you haven't got a static, you haven't got a reference base, you haven't got a sort of foundation to work from. So yeah, I just joined the two shows together and was interested in FPGA as well.
I'll just go back and tell people who I interviewed on those days. We had, first of all, we had an interview with Tim Timmy's script, who has not done a show yet. An ambient show would be, that is not without trying, I can guarantee you that.
I've hinted at it several times since then, yes.
So we had, we talked to the guys from the Matrix protocol. We talked interview with MyStorm, which is about the FPGA that you were discussing. And we also talked to Eric from the Free Software Foundation Europe. Those were released on the 15th. And then the Sunday we had a chat with a Mike from Electric Flapjack. Nice guitars. He's in your logo, I believe.
No. It just happened that the guy who runs the Edinburgh Linux User Group was at the stall with Grumpy Mike, I think, or maybe both of them at the time you were passing by. So yeah, I think you were just an interested bystander.
Cool. And then we had Grumpy Mike, who was there, and about his doing accessibility music for people who either have lost the ability to play music through some an injury or you know, something shitty happening in their life, which is an official medical term, and accessibility issues. He's got some books and stuff, so it's pretty impressive what he has put together. Lots of photos of that. And then we had chat with the Open Rights Group and Manchester Grey Hats, about who were there for FlawCon as well at Org Camp.
It was good to see lockpicking at Org Camp. I don't think that had ever happened before. I think it should be there as a standard thing. It's because it's very, yes, very cool.
He was nice enough to show me a tip for my own kids were picking a see-through lock, and then he was going, well, see-through locks are actually quite bad to start off with because you're holding it the wrong way, whereas if you do it with another, if you hold it correctly, then it's a lot easier to pick. That was a good tip.
Yeah, I had that, and I have just the same thing, and it's a bit of a cheat, I think, in many ways. My daughter said, oh, that looks easy, and walked up to the see-through lock and put one of these rakes. You know, there's a device called a rake. You just stick it in there and rattle it about a bit, and then the thing pops open. So, it's not the best thing to learn on, I'm sure, just going by that.
Following day, testing with Haskell, hit spec and quick check, where Tukutoroto talks about unit tests, property-based testing, testing with databases, and testing APIs. All of this was just interesting from a DevOps point of view anyway, but particularly interesting because of the Haskell aspect. And if people would like to do shows about testing in general and QA and quality control, that would be extremely awesome, and the advantages of using one type of test over another, including, but not limited to, obviously, testing tools that are available and in use in the public at large.
Yes, indeed. It was a good show. I thought he explained what he was about very well. I understood that. I don't understand the Haskell solutions to it particularly, but you know, knowing what it's meant to do helps to understand it a bit more, I think.
So the following day, we had Grim and Bean, two major Mimblewimble protocol blockchains. And this is, by the way, another downside of having to do the introductions, is I need to pronounce the words without help from you, Dave. Mimblewimble. I was hours practicing that one.
Anyway. If you'd been a Harry Potter fan, you'd know it straight away, of course.
No, I am, but
No, neither did I.
It's just a word.
Anticipating what you said, I'd forgotten that it even existed, even having read all the books to my kids when they were younger, etc., etc. But yeah, anyway, go ahead.
So, yes, again, two different approaches and two very, very interesting ways of one being private and the other one being a public approach to those. So I already commented on the previous episode, so I'm more or less commenting on both of those together.
Yeah, I went and looked at, I did some Google searches of Mimblewimble and Grin and Beam and stuff just to see if there were any good overviews, and there are several actually, and got a little bit more insight into it. Might be Mike's talk again was very good. I found that gave a lot of the major aspects of these things, don't understand it, but I'm on the way to doing so. I've said that several times tonight, but it's true.
So the following day, we had a hookah with NotPetya and Marsk, an object lesson, looking to the object lessons for IT management processes and the cost of failures. Basically, how one virus attacker brought down an entire international operation costing billions of dollars, which was an interesting show.
Yes. I looked at his... He tends to write out quite comprehensive notes on his own blog. I had a look at them a while ago, actually. And, it was... He does a great job of explaining these things, actually. And this was a pretty deadly problem and a great story. And I didn't know that Ahuka was a history graduate originally. That was quite an interesting thing to understand.
A walk through my PyFace CAD Python code part 2. Oh, and don't I love this series? It's going on and on. This is the Blink Stick. You have one of those, don't you, Dave?
I have two, actually. Yeah, three.
Yeah, lots of blinking going on here. But yes, he's doing some cool stuff here. It's really, really impressive. He included his... I'm trying to speak and scroll at the same time.
Yeah, there's a link.
He did include his whole script, didn't he? Because I think stitched it into the notes. So, So you can actually look at them all in context if you wish, but I'm very impressed with this. It's a good example of how you put together.
How you can over-engineer a solution.
yes. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty much bulletproof. It's in a very strong case. It's got a display on the front of it. It's got lights that come on. It's got buttons in it. I think it's pretty cool.
So the following day, we had another show by a certain Jeroen Batten, who continues to amaze me what he gets up to during his life.
Wait, was that a compliment?
Jeroen, I'm in awe of you, as you well know, sir, if you remembered me in the bar. That's
a compliment. Well,
that's it all.
That really shuts me up. okay, yeah, so sure. I was at OCCamp, and it's a non-conference, so whatever comes to your mind and you want to talk about, you like to talk about. And I thought, well, I'm now writing my ninth book, and I
ninth
really
book,
like
folks.
yes, there's that. But and I really like this tool chain that I now am using for the last few books and the last few years. And since it's an on conference, I wanted to share what I learned. So I wrote it up on the board, and lo and behold, I was pretty much, well, not the first, the second session, I believe. The second time slot, I was allocated to talk about it. So I did. And then I thought, well, if I do it here, I might just as well record it at home and make a podcast out of it.
Absolutely.
So far, no comments. So I hope people enjoy it and everything is clear and dandy. I have one idea for another upcoming podcast. And that's the one where you're using Zabbix for monitoring. And they have this feature which is really not so clearly documented, which is called low-level discovery rules. And I'm going to make a recording of that, because I dove into it, and then you find that it's pretty awesome, and you can do a lot of fun things with it. And so that will be my next episode. And by all your questions you leave in the comments, I guess there will be a fourth episode of things firefighters do or think or whatever. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes, Jeroen, I got to the point of listening. I was very late listening to things this month. Got to the point of listening to your show, and I always make myself notes about it. And then I think, now, shall I do a comment or shall I talk about it on the community news? Unfortunately, I didn't do a comment for you. I did one for an earlier show. But my notes say this: excellent show. Your own users ASCII doc to generate books in PDF, Git to keep version information, Inkscape for the covers, and Lulu to print the books that result. And the result is fascinating and is very, very impressive. I've used all of these things personally, apart from Lulu, but I had not put them together in a chain like this and thought of actually generating a proper book. So yeah, all power to you. Excellent work.
Well, thank you so much. That's yeah, thanks. Last month there was the NLUUG conference in the Netherlands. It stands for the Dutch User Unix Group Unix professionals. So compared to people focused on as a hobbyist on Linux, they're the guys doing this as a day job. And there was this guy from Germany who was doing exactly the same kind of topic. So using ASCII doc and ASCII doctor and Git. And it was really fun to exchange a few things like, do you wrestle with this like I do? Yeah, I do too. Do you have an OSolution? No, I don't. So, okay. So we know we're on equal footing. And it's nice to meet somebody who is just as enthusiastic about this tool chain as I was. And yeah. The basics of this is that you make your own sort of build script, because, well, compiling from ASCII doc to PDF, that's a, you know, one command, that's easy. But then it grows, you know, you start your build script with, for instance, gathering data from a database and making a CSV file out of it, and then turn that into XML or transform it into ASCII doc table, and then include that into your own ASCII doc source code. So these build scripts, they kind of grow while you're writing your book, and at some point the data comes from you could use data from an open data source somewhere on the internet, and let's say make an update of your book just with 5 minutes of running the build script and uploading a new PDF. So that's pretty yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I looked at ASCII Doctor as a way of making my HBR show notes. The thing I thought, I didn't use it. I do use it daily to keep journals of things that I do. But the reason I didn't use it was because it makes some pretty hairy looking HTML, which we wanted to avoid the more complex HTML. So I use Markdown and Pandoc to do equivalent thing. But I have solved some of these issues with my HBR stuff by having an intermediate stage where I take my Markdown and I've got elements in it which are expanded before it's passed to Pandoc to generate the HTML that I'm making. So in there I can do things like call databases, read files, pick bits out of files, interrogate things on the web, etc., etc. And it's all driven by makefile and so on. So you and I are obviously going along similar paths here. We should exchange notes at some point about this.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, it's I really love this kind of working and making a book out of it. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in fact, I was telling my daughter about this, who's currently doing an MSc in science communication. And she wants to write a book herself on some of the science that she's learned. And I said, well, there you go. You should listen to Jeroen's show and you might get some hints about ways in which you could do that. So whether she will, of course, is another question, but you never know.
Yeah, well, and if she has any more questions, well, it's easy to contact me. And she's, of course, very, very welcome to do that. And I'll answer her questions as well.
Thank you.
See, folks, he's a nice guy.
There you go again. Just when I was starting to like you a little bit, it's okay. I think it now you definitely owe me another Greek restaurant.
Sure, no.
Well, not a restaurant, but a dinner. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, moving on. 2953, how I got started in Linux. This is a nice short show by Arthur72, and I love these ones.
Yes, it was great. Sorry, took that moment to take a sip of that the stuff I've got in the glass here. Yeah, I thought this is great. I always love these journeys from Apple II, I think you said, to Windows and then Linux and stuff. It's always fascinating to hear how people have gone through this sort of stuff and over what period of time and so forth. So, yeah, very good. I'd like to hear more, actually.
I think it was at the end of the month, so a lot of people have not had an opportunity to comment on the last few shows. So the next day was The Dude sent in Wrestling As You Like It, episode 1. And I was strongly thinking, is this going to be the first show that I have zero interest in? And it turned out to be far from that. It turned out to be very, very interesting. And a topic that we have never had on the HBR before. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about pro wrestling.
I know, I had a similar sort of reaction. Well, yeah, but when I was a kid, my family were very much into the sort of pro wrestling that was the thing in the UK. That would have been in the 1970s, Giant Haystacks, Big Daddy, all of these guys. We used to watch every Saturday, and you know the family would all be stuck around the telly, yelling and shouting and throwing cushions at one another and whatever. And mind you, all those times have gone. I'm much older now, and not looked at this sort of stuff for a long, long time. But it was really quite a nostalgic journey, I found. I'd like to know more about the infrastructure in the USA. How is it organized? You know, who the people involved? What sort of status do they have? Are they big celebrities? Are they just within the wrestling world? All of those sorts of things. A bit more background would be amazing.
Yeah, and don't assume that just because you're American that everybody knows this. You know, we don't have access to the same cable channels that you guys do. So, you know, describe what you think is normal for everybody else.
Indeed, yes, that would be very much appreciated, I'm sure, by many people who are not USA based, or even people who've not really considered looking at wrestling in the USA.
So the next day we had, well, actually it was the last one, and it was the first show by Danielle, and it was Machine Learning Data Analysis Basics. I listened to this today while the kids were doing horse riding and doing different types of techniques for machine learning, from the absolute simplest up to multi-level perception techniques. And plenty of links there to Wikipedia as well.
Yes, I started looking at these. I haven't had time, as you say, it's close to the end of the month. I had much time to delve. But it great links, and thank you very much for that, Daniel. That's it's always amazingly useful to be able to follow the pointers that somebody puts down like that. My son's doing an AI degree at the moment, and he tells me stuff that I don't understand, so maybe some of this will help to fill in the gaps.
And I think that was it for the shows, but there is one comment on this. And it says, from Be Easy, welcome to the HPR host crew. This was a great first episode, and I'm looking forward to the next one. I think you already have submitted another show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't have the time to listen to every daily show, but I listened to this one. It was really, what's the word for it in English? Enlightening. Because it explains this for somebody who isn't for whom machine learning is not a day job, you know. So it was enlightening to me. I learned some stuff. So it definitely a great thing.
Now you have me wondering what enlightening is in Nederland.
Verlichtend.
Okay. Yep. That'll do.
Speaking of the Netherlands, I'll do it in English. So. You know that I started my first podcast after the 2018 edition of OchCamp in Sheffield, because some of you came to me and said, "Well, why don't you do your talk in a podcast?" And stuff has been happening since. You know, I've made a couple of podcasts, all fine and dandy, nothing to worry about yet. And then I learn about this other podcast in the Netherlands. It is in Dutch. It's called Angry Nerds. And I sort of squeezed myself into this session with a couple of other guys that I sort of know professionally. And we make a podcast, and it's also on YouTube. And then we make another one. It's a monthly. And after a couple of months, I'm becoming sort of a regular. And it's fun to do too. But it all started with OrCamp Sheffield. And now with the Angry Nerds podcast in the Netherlands, recently we got asked to travel to the south of Germany in March, where there's a week-long conference for cloud suppliers, to be there the sort of Dutch interviewing team, because they think we're funny. And travel and lodging and accommodation is all paid for. Which is, of course, it's sort of a free holiday, right? And you only have to do the thing that you like to do in the evening. But it all started with HPR at Sheffield, and just wanted to share that with you guys.
The royalty checks will be flowing in.
There you go again. I'm still as broke as a bum, but other than that, I get paid in food in March. And the other thing is, if you're located in the Netherlands and you like HPR and the subjects, and you're sort of a hacker, then there is the Hacker Hotel, and it's a weekend. It's very easy to remember what day, because it's a Valentine's Day. And it's a whole weekend for hackers, and it's in a hotel, so everything is taken care of. And,
awesome.
I just thought I'd mention it. You know, I'm not involved in this financially or otherwise, but for people who are in the Netherlands and think, oh, that might be fun to go to, then, well, there it is. Hackerhotel.nl.
Thanks. Can you send us in two links, a link to that, and can you send us a link to your other podcast, please? I will subscribe.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll put them in the comments in a second. No worries.
Cool, because I was thinking, oh, it's a pity there's no good Dutch tech podcast out there. And now at least there's a Dutch tech podcast. Whether it's good or not, we will wait to see.
Well, it isn't called Angry Nerds for nothing. So we're just sometimes as a rant, and it tries to sort of focus a little bit around privacy and security. But for instance, we have this thing in the Netherlands with this new internet provider and the old Access for All, who's sort of going to vanish, and people are upset about it. So there was a Kickstarter project, and they raised €2.5 million in 48 hours.
Yeah. People are very annoyed. I'm one of those people who are very annoyed about what's happening in Access for All.
Yeah, exactly. So they had some 3,000 investors all coughing up in a total of €2.5 million, because that's the max in the Netherlands due to regulation. And even the organization never expected this. And in one of those Angry Nerds sessions, we are talking to the new director of this new internet provider, Freedom Internet.
Yeah.
And one of those, Gerdine is, well, I think she's sort of communication or something. But then as a human, you know, it's not corporate communication where everything is stripped of any feelings. But this is, you're talking to a human. And so we have some fun at the same time. We even made a special episode because of that success. And well, people can still subscribe to as a sort of an early starter package for €50 if they like. And then you already get an email address. So you can send everybody your email at freedom.nl. And It's a nice to see that sort of adventure from close by and how they are sort of starting in a small cubicle with two chairs, and now they have an office with 10 chairs, and they're going to acquire some hardware, of course, because they want to start being an internet provider. So lots of questions by people asking things. They all get an answer usually the same day, sometimes 48 hours later, simply because they're swarmed with questions. So this is really sort of alive in the hacker scene in the Netherlands, and even beyond the hacker scene. I mean, 3,000 people, it's a pretty big crowd. Well, that's only the investors, because the 50 euro startup sort of subscription, it's not a subscription, but the first members, let's put it like that, they have already passed the 10,000, and it was in a week. So it's growing in a very positive way.
Okay, cool. Now let's go and finish off. Go back and talk about comments for last month. Only one, is that correct, Dave?
There's only one comment. It's not. Yeah, it's not last month. It's 2014.
Yep.
Shall I do it?
Yeah, please.
It's Tim Timmy, who is commenting on a show by Ahuka, number 36 in LibreOffice Calc. He says, "Hi, Ahuka. I just wanted to let you know that
this is Tim Timmy, who has yet to submit a show.
This is Tim Timmy, who has yet to submit a show. Yeah, we've got his picture. We've heard his voice. We've seen his scripts, but no show. It seems very, very strange. And he's a man of parts. He has many, many skills. You'd have thought he'd be able to
tell us
about all these things that he knows, very, very significant number,
Even an ambient soundscape one around the quarry, that's all we want.
Well, absolutely. That would that not be a wonderful thing?
Just turn on the audio player, go into work, turn it off, submit it as a show.
I think
he's doing it deliberately now, because I'm asking him too often.
Yes. Anyway, he's mentioning a template that Ahuka made and included in this particular show. And Tim is saying, "I just wanted to let you know that I use this template a lot. I never studied business at school or even computing. I guess that I taught myself the basics of both over the years. I like the nice, clean, simple layer of your template and have presented it along with proposals to business professionals. I've even received a comment from an asset finance manager that they liked how clear the information had been laid out and presented without fluff, trying to sugarcoat figures. So here I am again, grabbing a clean template for another project. Thanks again, Tim Timmy."
This is really the sort of comments I love, and old episodes where you think nobody got anything out of my episodes, and then you get a comment like this. This is just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Tim Timmy's business is not tiny.
Does not describe any part of his business, I don't think.
No, some of the vehicles that he has, they're a gigantic,
Dave,
run of your house.
Stop. Surely the best person to describe his organization is Tim Timmy himself.
Do you know? You've made a good point there, Ken. Definitely.
Fascinating idea.
Yeah.
So, and listeners, anybody who wants to comment on this show, please comment here to Tim Timmy and ask him to submit a show to us. That would be absolutely awesome.
Yes.
So what are we missing? Mailing list?
That's right, yep.
Oh yeah, Postcard Club, Jeroen, has requested to, if people could send a postcard to his stepdaughter, and the details are here. Do you want to explain it, Jeroen, that you're on, or shall I do it?
Well, it's something that has ended.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would get postcards, I guess, for the next few years, which is of course Well, don't know how to say this. Anyway, so what we did, I can tell you what we did. She is born with spina bifida, so she's severely disabled. She's in a wheelchair, and she's now 22. And in Netherlands, you have 8 categories of how much care somebody needs, and she's in the top level. And she has been living in a sort of I don't know what the word, it's not an institution, but at the same time, it's sort of
assisted living.
Yeah, thanks. Assisted living. She's done that for the last 4 years. And so far, recently, she developed her 6th pneumonia this year. So that's pretty heavy. And just in the week where the rest of her mates would all go to Disneyland in Paris, and she had to stay home, well, because simply she had a pneumonia. You can't go with a pneumonia. And of course, she was saddened by that. And I offered her, wouldn't it be nice if they, of all your mates, when they return, you receive postcards as if you were on a trip of your own throughout the world. So just a message, you know, and all signed with Anushka, which is her name. And people did. So I posted a couple of photos with, I think, a rough guesstimate would be 20 to 30 postcards that we received. And she was incredibly happy with it, and the fact that all these people did that for her, because when they did not know her, so that was moving both to her but also to us as parents, that people took the time to go to Google Translate, enter some text, and translate it in Dutch and write this Dutch text on the card. Yeah, so she got these cards, and after they all returned from when her mates returned from Disneyland, she had to go into the hospital for a sort of a upgrade on her night breathing apparatus. That's going to a, let's say, a more complicated level. So we even sent, by the time they were arriving, we took them from the place where she lived and brought it to the hospital. So she had some sort of little surprise of people she didn't know. And so many people I would like to thank. And I hope everybody who sent a card listens to this. I doubt it, but it was an amazing experience. But at the same time, it was also always meant to be a temporary small project, and for instance, there was this policeman in the Netherlands who has a daughter of 3 who developed acute leukemia, and they said, well, if you like, send us a postcard. He got baskets full of cards of people nobody's ever heard of. And that was never the intention. So this is absolutely just fine. And everybody who sent a card, I thank you so, so much. And but it's, I think we have to draw it to a conclusion now. And maybe
so you're
another
not looking
time.
For anymore, yeah. At
yeah,
this point.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Then Corbett-Ratou was asking about the New Year show, which obviously is going ahead, apparently. So they, as soon as December comes in, I will put up the notice for that. And Kevin will be doing the streaming. And Hunky is organizing it again. So it's awesome. I don't have to do anything. And other big news. I saw that there was a request for stands open at FOSDEM, and having been rejected 2 years in a row, I didn't expect to have anything come out of it. So turns out that this year they're doing half the stands on both days, and then a quarter of the stands on one day and a quarter on the other day to allow more people to get exposure. So we are scheduled to be on the Sunday. And by we, I mean Free Libre Open Source podcast, Creative Commons podcast, as opposed to HPR. Obviously, we'll be there talking about HPR because we're the Free Culture Podcast, but it is Free Culture Podcast, and the idea being that you don't need to be subscribed on iTunes or on Apple or on Spotify or any of the other SoundCloud or whatever, that you there are other ways to get podcasts directly. And if you want to listen to podcasts, here's a selection of music, art, entertainment, tech podcasts that you can listen to, and you yourself can get into podcasting. Here's how, and here's people who will help you do that. So please, FOSDEM is massive, Dave.
Yes, it's even more massive than when we were last there, I'm sure.
It is
10,000, I think that was the last estimate, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's absolutely, totally nuts. I will be there at least on the day. I actually hadn't budgeted to be there, but we'll make it work somehow. I will be there at least on the day that we're there. And what I would like, what I'm going to do this weekend is send off emails to people who I suggested this to 2 years ago, who are now there, so that they can send us stickers and swag and stuff for their booth. So we'll also need to get some booth stuff printed up. I don't know if we're bringing if anyone's coming from the UK and can bring the booth kit with them, perhaps.
There's a thing, yeah. We'll have to talk about that one. I would very much like to come, but my trip would be from Edinburgh to Brussels. So yeah. And the booth kit is in Cornwall, so I'm not sure. We should anyway. I'll talk to Tim Timmy about that.
And it might just be easier to print off a few banners anyway, because it's not for it's not HBR. It's all the other shows. So if you know, I don't know. I didn't, to be honest, I didn't put a whole lot of faith into the fact that we were going to be doing this. Free Culture Podcast is probably not the coolest name in the world, but, you know, no domain name, no nothing, no mailing list. So I really need to get going on getting that in. However, if you're listening to this and you have a podcast and you've got swag, you can send your stickers and stuff to me as soon as possible, and I will make sure that they're there on the day. And you can expect there to be thousands of people coming, so it never stops the whole day.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's 10,000 of approximately people, all hackers walking around. You have a multitude of lectures, and they're all worthwhile to visit. You just can't physically, but you learn so much in a weekend. So the atmosphere is really geeky. Like you said, there are people putting that on the table, exhibiting their projects, like HPR. So I've been going for years, and I will also be going this year. I can't make any guarantees if I can man the booth, simply because of, you know, the personal situation we always have. But if everything goes as planned, then I'll definitely make some time available to man the booth and help you, because it will be very, very busy.
We're required to have two people there at all times is the minimum. And I know for a fact that that is not enough. So if you are going to FOSDEM and you could help out for at least a few hours during that Sunday, that would be absolutely awesome if you could help out. I do really need people to step forward and help if you're going to FOSDEM. If you're not, could you please go to FOSDEM and come help us on the Sunday?
Okay, so you're looking for some people on Sunday. Let's keep in touch on Telegram and see what time slot would be smart.
But not
smart.
Just you, but there are other people as well who've got podcasts and who we will be promoting there. So I'll be asking those people as well if they're there and want to attend, and also getting stickers, getting banners, and all the rest of that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So events.
Events?
There is only one thing coming up on the LWN.net community calendar. That's the Open FinTech Forum, which is in New York, USA. And the call for papers is FOSDEM is, let me see, Open MiniConf, FOSDEM, PyCon, and KubeCon. Those are the ones. Dave, update us on the tags.
Well, not a lot of movement on the tag front. I managed to do five, add tags to five shows in the past month. So something, but need to go at it more determinedly over Christmas if I can.
I'm not suggesting anything, because if I suggest something, I'll only disappoint myself and you. Okay, that I think is it. Have I missed anything, Dave?
I don't think so. No, I think we're good.
Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Jeroen
Hacker
Dave. Public
Radio. Join us now and share the software. You'll be free, hackers. You'll be free. I should get eSpeak. That's how I should introduce all the shows from now on. This is HBR Community News for November 2019. HBR volunteers talk about shows released and comments and posted. Yeah, and then my wife will call the brigade to take me away. All right, guys. Thanks very much. It's been a ball. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio. I thought we already did that. Okay,
we did. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.